On today's episode of Cheating, When Love Lies.
If there's something I find despicable yet so common, rude and so dismissive, juvenile and ignorant, it's ghosting. There was a time when ghosting was hurtful to everyone. You reached out to the person, you called or texted, and never heard anything back. It was just damaging. But now ghosting has become so common that people who were once hurt and offended by ghosting are now doing it themselves. Maybe a cheater is cheating on their partner and they want to get rid of you. They just ghost you. Maybe a cheater wants to get rid of their partner to continue their escapades with you. They just ghost the partner. Zero accountability and zero confrontation, and yet a trail of so much hurt left behind. But can ghosting ever be good? Maybe in an affair, ghosting is the only way. We're going to talk about it today with writer Alexandria Roswick, who shares her opinion on why ghosting can not only be good, but be necessary with a cheater or anyone else. Alexandria, you have a very interesting perspective on ghosting. Now, ghosting, I think, is the one thing that I find the most rude, disrespectful, and just juvenile behavior there is out there. I can't stand ghosting. But you feel like sometimes it's a better idea than not. Tell us about that.
Well, of course, I mean, I can agree with you. I've been ghosted in the past, and it has been heartbreaking. It has triggered my abandonment issues. I am an anxious style of attachment. So these things can really hit hard to me. And I definitely understand that perspective.
So let's start by defining a few things that you've already said. We're both saying ghosting, ghosting, ghosting. But for that person that may not know exactly what that means, can you give us a definition for ghosting?
Ghosting is when, instead of communicating clearly, you know, I don't think we're compatible, I don't think this is going anywhere, instead of saying what you feel, you stop contacting a person completely with no explanation.
And it's rough. It's brutal. Can you define for us what abandonment issues typically are?
Sure. So I can only give, of course, my experience with abandonment issues, but I would say that because I've been abandoned in the past, whether I felt like a need wasn't met in my childhood or in relationships in the past, I get triggered if I feel somebody slipping away and I have no control over it. So there's anxieties around certain behaviors. And it is, in dating, it is like a minefield of anxiety when it comes to anxious attachment style, because especially with like Tinder and like the app or dating apps, that's the way of the world now, but people are very detached.
Anxiety attachment style? Can you describe what that is?
Anxious attachment style is when it's specifically people who have abandonment issues with relationships, like romantic relationships or friendships. So basically, in online dating and dating apps, the way that most people are becoming so detached now, is, as I said before, it can be like a minefield for people with anxious attachment, because they feel something for people, and they hold on to it.
Yeah. So
when that feeling is planted in their minds, you have a correspondence with someone, and you're already married to the idea of them.
Yes. That's important. The idea of them, not them. Like, you could literally replace Brad with Tom, with Jim, with Kendrick, whomever. It's like,
it could be. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not necessarily the person. It's what they represent.
Yeah. It's usually the idea of being in a relationship with someone, like you said.
Yeah.
So of course it's very problematic because you feel so needy for a person you barely know, but it's already been triggered. Like, oh, I don't want this person to abandon me. So it's already based on, like, you're dependent on their validation, which is just a recipe for disaster.
Now, I hear you and I agree with what you're saying. However, doesn't everyone feel crappy when they're ghosted? Doesn't everyone feel crappy when someone is dismissive? It's a bad feeling, whether I know you from 2 minutes in the grocery store or we've been out to dinner 5 times.
Yeah, I mean, it never feels good. I will say that to differentiate, like, between someone who has, like, a more secure attachment style.
Yeah. What's the difference?
The difference would be, you know, they would feel hurt, right?
Yeah.
But ultimately, they would say, okay, well, I love who I am.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to move on. There might be some grieving. There might be some turmoil, but ultimately it's you're going to the next step because you believe in yourself.
Going to the next kind of person, step. Not the next step. Okay. All right. So ghosting. When, according to you, Alexandria, is it good? I mean, we've just spent, 10 minutes talking about how it's juvenile and it's hurtful and how people do it. When is it good?
It can be very protective and self-preserving to cut contact with someone without explanation if they are exuding or portraying any love bombing or
define love bombing for people that don't know.
So love bombing is actually one of the first steps in either narcissistic abuse or the cycle of abuse, which can reel you in very quickly.
Yes.
Love bombing basically is a form of psychological manipulation that overwhelms a person, specifically more common for very young people, naive people to get wrapped into this because they haven't been in relationships a lot and they have an ideal version in their mind. And this is going to be the ideal version. The manipulator is going to make this the most beautiful, grandiose, whirlwind romantic relationship for whoever they're preying on. And they the victim will believe it because, you know, this is what they've always wanted, a beautiful relationship like this. And some examples can be like the person will overwhelm you with a lot of gifts or even just words or promises. Yeah,
texting in the morning, texting last thing at night, texting all damn day long.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're all consuming.
It is all consuming. That's exactly the word that I would use because it, like, the dependence,
you're like the Pavlov dog. You're waiting for the ding, 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 ding. You want to hear from this person.
Yep. And they're setting it up so that when they don't ding, when they don't message you immediately, you feel, oh my gosh, what's going on? Something's not right. And that is their way of controlling. So.
But you know what I found curious is I agree with you. I've experienced it. So I agree. And I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But I've always thought, like, well, how do they know that you're really freaking out? I mean, maybe you're doing the same thing to 3 other people, right? How does the person, quote unquote, know that you're waiting for the ding, waiting to hear from them? You may be the same as they are. So isn't that a kind of a risk that they're taking, assuming that the love bomb E is going to be so dependent?
That's interesting. They are assuming because I don't want to diagnose anyone, but I am saying for narcissists specifically, they just have this innate way, like they know how to do this. They know how to manipulate. And it's psychological manipulation, which works on everyone. It doesn't matter. I mean, of course, they have their preferences on preying on specific people, like people who are in a vulnerable position or younger.
Mm-hmm. When is it favorable ghosting?
So going back to the love bombing, when someone is doing that to you and you can recognize it, that's why I try to write about it and talk about it all the time, because it can be hard to really recognize it when it's happening to you. If you see something like that happening, or you feel like, this is unbelievable, I can't believe that I'm having the relationship that's been so, I've idealized for my entire life, I've dreamed about, you know, like, here it is. It's like, if it seems too good to be true, you got to listen to your gut.
Yeah,
it probably is.
I had a guy recently who was trying to love bomb me. He's mm-hmm. younger than I am, you know, probably by 10, 15 years. And I said to this guy, I said, I'm too old for you. And just stop. Like, and I made a joke out of it. And the guy keeps coming back. And every time I'm incredulous, I'm thinking, you're not really trying to love bomb me, because I don't know what I could say to convince you more that it's never going to happen. And every couple of months, here he comes. And it's a very, and I do feel badly. It doesn't affect me because I'm not at all interested in this person in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, good. But
I do observe the tactics. It's, we could be great together. I'm going to call you. I'm going to set up dates. No, I don't want a date. No. I'm going to set up dates. I'm going to send you dates and we're going to go out. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, dear God, please don't contact me, because, you know, I try not to be a mean person, but I'm hoping, you know, he won't contact me. And I'm going to set up dates. I'm going to call you. We're going to go out. And then never does it happen.
Mm-mm.
And I thought, that is so mean-spirited.
Right.
I mean, suppose I really like, I'm not interested in this person at all. Suppose I really like them.
Exactly. They set it up for you.
And why? I barely know him. Like, what's the point? What? So even if you got me, I wanted to go out with you and now you're not. What? I've always had a problem understanding, like, what's the gratification there?
It's... especially if they are a narcissist, which I don't know if they are, but it seems like they're falling into the love bombing, or trying to get you to fall into the love bombing. They feed off of attention. They feed off of people as a supply.
It
doesn't even matter if it's good attention or bad attention. Any attention to them is just, it's building their ego, basically.
Oh, okay. So maybe I should ghost. Maybe I shouldn't answer. It's right. So not me to do that.
Right.
I can't tell you the number of times I've said to the person, I'm sorry, this just isn't going to work out. I'm just not a ghoster by nature. But maybe I'll try your technique.
I mean, it might be the only way, and especially blocking them, to get them to leave you alone, because they can't weasel their way in, you know? I mean, I can't speak for you, but I'm sure they tried, like, you know, we could still be friends, or like, we could still talk, or like...
No, they're still trying to get me to be excited. Like, okay, I'm going to text you the dates for the date, and then the dates never come. And all I'm thinking is, oh dear God, great, because I'm not interested, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he'll just go away.
He's really just getting something from you, expecting more from him and then being disappointed.
But I don't. I keep telling him, stop. You're too young for me. But, you know, I guess you're right. I should just ghost, because that's the way to communicate what I'm really thinking. Okay, so that's a circumstance where that might happen. But you also wrote a piece in which you talked very specifically about how ghosting can be the only way.
Because, I mean, when you get wrapped into certain, like, grooming and love bombing.
What's grooming?
Grooming is even before love bombing. It is maybe the moment when that person swipes on your Tinder and starts the, like, you start to get to know each other. But there are certain behaviors such as, you know, mirroring, which he'll just agree with everything. He or she will just agree with anything you say, and anything you dislike, he or she dislikes. like trying to mirror your behavior so that you think that
you're similar,
are so similar. Like there's no denying how compatible you are, but wow, they'll do it on purpose. It's like pretending. Something like keeping you up very late at night with hours long conversations, because if you're not mentally at your sharpest, you're way easier to manipulate. And that it's a really sadistic thing to do, but they do that. And something else like intermittent reinforcement, which means if you don't act a way that they desire, like if you behave in a certain way that is undesirable to them, they will either be cold or they will react negatively, and they will only show you affection when you act in the way that favors them. So all these
give me an example of that. You must have an example of that.
Yeah. So especially along with mirroring you, if they're favorable of everything you say, and then one day I say something like maybe something political. There was a time when I got into an argument with a man about, I used the hashtag Me Too, and I used the hashtag Men Are Trash at one point. Pretty controversial, but I did say men are trash. And he said, well, not all men. And instead of talking to me about it and listening to what I was saying, he went cold completely. And I was used to him, like we were always on the same page about everything, right?
Oh, okay.
Always on the same page about everything. And he had said things that made me feel safe to even express that thought about men, because he had talked about feminism with me, and you know, we were on the same page, like I said. And so then I said that, and he said, no, like it was clear in his stoic demeanor that was not acceptable for me to express. And I was like, it was chilling.
I was gonna say, yeah. Based on expression on your face.
Yeah.
What other circumstance do you have where you find that ghosting is the most effective? Does it have to be these extreme cases where the person's really a son of a bitch and you've got to ghost them? Or could there be sort of like rudeness light ghosting is the appropriate response?
I think, honestly, there is a stigma about ghosting, and I understand why people think that, because it hurts.
Yes. So put it this way. Why couldn't one just say to, and we're women, so we'll make it a man, the man, I see what you're doing. I don't like it. You're not pulling the wool over my eyes. Don't bother me. Click. Why would that not be preferable to just saying nothing?
In the cases where the person is a manipulator, it's not going to end there. They will weasel their way back in, or they will make you feel extremely.
But how? If you don't want to talk to them, how are they going to weasel their way back in? I've done that. I said, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I block the guy. And he finds out my email. He takes pictures of me in restaurants. You know.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's extreme. That's where you get the police involved.
Not really, because I found him to be so pathetic. This is where I felt bad. I felt, and I'm older than you are, if you have this behavior at this age, and then I came to find out through others that he was a pathological liar and had lived, you know, decades of lying, I felt bad. That was my response. I thought, wow, that's sad.
The thing is, it's interesting that you said you felt bad, which means you may have felt guilt. Did you feel guilt?
I didn't feel guilt, but I thought, you know, there, but for the grace of God, go I, right? Bad things can happen to people. Like you can find yourself in a state where you're acting, doing, and comporting in ways that you never thought you would. And because I like to see the good in people, I thought, wow, I bet he doesn't really want to be doing this. I bet there's a world in which he wouldn't want to always kind of tell the truth, kind of be lying, kind of not be manipulating, because it's exhausting. I thought this poor guy must be exhausted.
You know what? That's a really good point. And it's not comfortable to think about, but that exact line of empathy is exactly what these people use
right.
to make people yeah. feel yeah. for them.
Yeah. And there was a time when I would have been empathic. Now I'm just like, whatever. Yeah.
It can be hard now after seeing all these things. It's like, wow, I want to feel for people, but you know what? I've been thinking about people and, you know, how I should react to the way people treat me
yeah.
and how I should be doing certain things. When am I even considering my own mental health in these conversations with myself or these conversations with men? Am I considering them before I consider my mental health?
Because is that a rhetorical question? What's the answer?
The answer was yes. I found that in my early 20s, I was favoring the men in these conversations.
Okay.
And that's why I felt scared or guilty. Oh, you know, I should just give him a chance. You know, he's probably just acting nervous.
Right. Okay. Right. Going through a hard time.
Yeah. So there needs to be a balance of empathy and self-respect.
I often hear this, well, if you had self-worth and you respected yourself, you wouldn't let this happen. Where I challenge that idea, Alexandria, is that if you're not aware of what's happening, then you're not acting with intent. If you're not sophisticated enough or old enough or mature enough or experienced enough to know what love bombing and grooming and mirroring is, and you earnestly believe this person, then are you really acting out of lack of self-respect or
no.
I question that. They say, well, she has no self-worth or, oh, she has no respect. No, she just didn't know. She didn't know that people could be this mean.
And I did not want to come off in a victim blamey way. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I mean, recently.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like we've all been there in moments where it, of course, I don't want to say that these people are lacking self-respect or self-worth.
Yeah.
But people do prey on people who maybe do have a little bit of self-esteem issues. Maybe they do some people are just very easy to walk all over. Some people are just empathetic in general, and it's used as leverage. And I'm not saying that first of all, nobody who is being love bombed deserves it or walked into it. It is a trap set for them.
And thank you for saying that. Yes.
It works
like that. I think it's very important to differentiate between I walked into it versus it's a trap. But if you haven't experienced love bombing or grooming or mirroring, you don't even know it's happening until it's happened.
Absolutely. And even, and the thing is, and this is a proven statistic. I'll have to find it and send it to you. But victims of this kind of abuse in the future, they are actually more likely to fall for it again. That's how crazy it is. Yeah. They're more likely to, first of all, be targeted again because they're more vulnerable in the eyes of the predator. They are more likely to fall into it again because
with the same person or with a different person?
Different or different or honestly or same because it's the same system every single time. And the reason, I mean, it's happened to me multiple times. I've fallen into it and I talk about it all the time because people use the fact that I was in relationships already like that. And they say, oh my gosh, I would never do that to you.
No, you should not. The expression on your face when you said that was like, it's
exactly.
Never do that to you. Yeah,
exactly. It's like, you can almost hear in the back of your mind, you're like, is he serious or is he just playing me right now? But you know what? You don't want to be cynical. That's another thing. Like, that's another obstacle we face too. We're just like, should I give him a chance? You know, he could be lying, but is everyone lying? You know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah. No, I've dealt with that recently, but then I do go back to that point where I'm like, God, I feel bad for this person. Again, I'm a lot older than you are. And I'm like, really? At your age, you need to act this way? It makes me feel bad. I feel sad for them. Doesn't mean I'm going to walk into it. I mean, I can love you from a distance. I feel for you, but you're going to be over on that side of the world and I'm going to be on this side of the world. But I do struggle with like an out and out hating them. I feel it's pathetic. It's sad. Sad.
Hating them. Yeah. You can understand that someone has mental, either mental illness or is something pathological. You can feel for them because maybe they don't understand what they're doing. But guess what? It doesn't mean
that. I think they do understand what they're doing. They do understand. And I do think it's mean. And I do think they're aware that they're being mean. And I do think they're aware that they're trying to prey on women. However, I see that level of desperation
as
to strategize and hurt someone. That's sad.
Yep.
Sad.
It is. And of course you can feel like, oh, what has brought them to this point? Like what is so useless in their life? Like, what is so boring and what is so like, but at the end of the day, you deserved better. You deserve better treatment.
Yeah.
And they were at the other end. They were doing it to you.
Yeah. No, now I love from a distance. Love ya, but you stay over there. And, you know, if you need a blood transfusion, I'll help you. But it doesn't mean I have to engage with you on a day-to-day basis. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And every time it's like with these people specifically, it's hard. This is one of the hardest things to come to terms with. No matter what you say to them, no matter what you like, you say to them like, oh, I really feel for you. All these things, these types of people are not listening to you, unfortunately.
Really?
They hear this person is giving me attention. They love you as long, or they don't really love you, maybe, depending on the situation, but they love you as much as you give them attention and the things that they want. They're not really considering or even keeping what you say to them in their mind. And that is a very hard thing to learn, but I've learned it over so many conversations with narcissists or manipulators.
Give me an example of that. How do you know that they're not listening to you? I've never heard that before.
Well, when you tell someone I'm setting a boundary, and this was when I was trying to, this is an instance of when I didn't want to ghost because I thought ghosting was rude. I thought, you know what? I'm going to talk to them about it and tell them exactly what I think about their behavior and that I need to set a boundary. When you tell someone you're setting a boundary because of something you've already talked about with them, a behavior they've already talked about, and they say, where did this come from? Where did all of this come from? I've never heard. And it's like, yes, we just had this conversation yesterday, or I've mentioned this many times
before.
And they try to get you to trip up and say, oh, you know what? Maybe I didn't talk to you about it. That's gaslighting, by the way. That is gaslighting.
Which is another heinous behavior.
And it's so, so subtle. You really have to know what gaslighting is and know what it feels like in order to pick up on it. Because if even just someone saying, you never said that to me, that's gaslighting. Like that could be gaslighting. And that's just such a simple thing to say. And it's just putting that in your mind, like, oh, did I say that or did I not?
Right. Yeah. Dangerous.
So, yes. So that person said, I don't remember that. And I was like, I know that I said that.
Yeah.
Is he listening to anything I say? Because if not, why am I talking to them? You know, why am I stressing?
Right.
You probably know. I mean, you stress so much over saying the right thing and being communicative and being respectful. And then they don't even know what you're like. They don't even remember.
I have to look out for that. They don't remember.
They don't either don't remember or
don't maybe care to remember.
They don't care to remember. Maybe they remember that you had a conversation, but they don't care about the details of it. They don't, because they are using you as a pawn in their game.
Yeah. Yeah. So ghosting is good. In the world of Alexandria, ghosting can be good.
It can save your life. It could save
your life. What do you mean by that?
Because abusive situations, like this is where you get reeled into an abusive relationship, which can last It's lasted for certain people for 25 years, yes. Horrible marriages.
Yes.
Years and years. And you're still in the cycle. You can't get out once you're in at a certain point. And when people do get out, it's very, there's no like equation that like, you know, this plus this equals you save the survivor. No, you don't know how to get people out of a relationship like that.
Wow.
Because they're often willing to be in that at a certain point because they've been so
conditioned.
So conditioned. Exactly. And that's why I write about this stuff, because I want people, like, the only way is to be to take these precautions and to know, like, arm yourself with these tools and this education about the specifics of abuse. All the terms we define today
are abuse.
Of course, I'm not a psychologist. Right. So I hope that I can be used as a jumping off point for people. Like, my content can be something that people look and it kind of just inspires them to look at scholars and scholarly articles about abuse, because honestly, it's so common these days.
It is.
That we need to start using it as like, you know, this is dire. I need to arm myself with this.
I want to finish up by talking about online dating. You sure. mentioned it earlier. Listeners of Cheating When Love Lies know that I don't engage in online dating and I'm skeptical about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do not know who you're engaging with. You do not know if the person with whom you're interfacing is who they claim to be.
Mm-hmm.
You do not know if they have a good self-assessment. I mean, I could tell you, Alexandria, I'm a fabulous cook. I cook every night. I cook all the time. But truthfully, I'm cooking, but it all tastes disgusting. So it's not that I'm intentionally lying, but I have a poor self-assessment. So I'm very skeptical, because we all do that. We can imagine, oh, yeah, I'm you know, such a good tennis player. Meanwhile, it's like, oh, I mean, maybe in your neighborhood, but not overall. So it's not only the people that are deceptive, but people have a poor self-perception. How does ghosting play a role, and should it play a role for people that are online dating?
Well, I would say, yes, this is where the term ghosting became mainstream, is from online dating. I mean, I'm sure it happened before that, but people are very detached now because of online dating. They don't see people. They're not confronting the people or talking to the people in person. Yeah. So they think it's easy to just, you know, it didn't work out. I didn't like this this conversation. Let's just throw it away. You know? So in these instances, of course, that can hurt when someone does that to you. It's happened to me so many times.
So then why do you online date? I'm assuming you online date because you made that comment. Like, I don't understand how people online date knowing that something as simple as ghosting is so prevalent. It's like, I don't want to go online and subject myself to those kinds of behaviors.
You're right. And I am seeing someone right now, so I'm currently not online dating.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Sorry, Mr.
No, that's okay. I actually met him in person. He was a friend of a friend, and I did
there
not
you go. Online there you
dating.
Go.
I'm old school. It's a very, yes, very healthy relationship. We never wanted to ghost each other. It was great. It's great right now. But before that, I mean, after all the trauma of online dating, I wasn't dating for a while. I think it was like a year and a half or so. And I was like, I'm not doing it. If someone happens to come into my life,
right,
that I like,
yeah.
To do it in person. Like, they're going to have to do it in person because I can't deal with all this.
I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
I can't deal with it. I have a problem, Alexandria. I don't know what I'm going to do because everyone's like, oh, online dating. I can't do it.
Yeah. It's
because I don't necessarily get sad. I get angry. And then it's bad. You know, it's like, I need to control my emotions and I can't be like screaming at this one and mad at that one. And, you know, it has a detrimental effect on me. So I just have decided I'm going to just stand back. Like, I'm going to stand down and I don't know.
I mean,
there's some nice guy. Whole Foods or something.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you have to do what is right for your mental health. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Sometimes we just think, oh, we have to be in a relationship. No, you don't. I mean, you don't. If you want one, of course. But it is hard to really find one if you're looking for one. That's where it gets so complicated.
Yeah.
Honestly, I fell into one. I fell into one when I thought it wasn't a time for me to be in one.
Do you have any handles you want to share with us where we can find you, your writing, etc.?
I am on most things. So I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and on Medium and Facebook as at Alexandria Roswick.
Spell it out, just, please.
Sure. AlexAndriaRoswick. And you can find me anywhere. I mean, I'm doing a lot of different projects right now.
Yeah.
And if you want to subscribe to my Medium, you can go on Medium and hit the subscribe button.
Okay, great. Well, you're a great speaker and you're very lovely. Yep. And I really wish you the best.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Cheating When Love Lies. Please continue to subscribe, rate, and share. And I always love to hear from you at jillianhamilton.online. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
I'm Lindsay Chrisley. Join me for The Southern Tea. It's a weekly heart-to-heart from this Southern girl and boy mom who's just trying to navigate life. Nothing is off limits. I talk about it all. Life, career, family, motherhood, faith, and everything in between. It's an ongoing conversation, and I can promise you one thing. I'm spilling tea, the whole tea, and nothing but the tea. So listen to and follow The Southern Tea now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.